I want to challenge you to go out and encourage people, because that's what God is trusting us for, to encourage people as well. And then also operate in the gifts of the Spirit. So if you have words of knowledge or prophecy or have a message in tongues or be able to interpret in tongues, that's something we need to be doing on a regular basis. We actually don't see that enough. And that's something that we've also been entrusted with in terms of being in the circle of trust. Okay, so if we want to build faith and relationships, there's a few things I want to discuss. I want to talk, what is trust? Sometimes we don't trust, so I want to share some key things that we need to look at in terms of how to gain trust or regain trust. Some people have been hurt and they don't trust anymore and they need to get their trust levels back. So I just want to share a bit about that. And then also, a lot of us are trusting God for certain things in our lives personally. So I want to give us a little bit of time to maybe look at that and say, okay, what are you trusting God to do for you? Not only what God is trusting from you, but what are you trusting God for? And then also to how to stay in that circle. Okay, so the definition of trust, Oxford, not the Bible, but it'll help us to understand trust. I'll just read it out. Trust is a firm belief in the reliability, truth, or ability of someone or something. It's also the acceptance of the truth of a statement without evidence or investigation. And it's when you allow someone to have, use, or look after some or something of importance or value with confidence. Like my 3-year-old niece's daughter that I have to look after with confidence. Okay, so that's a definition of faith. Now, from that definition, from that definition, you'll see there's a few components that I wanted to take out in terms of what is important for trust. So the first thing we need for trust is faith. Without faith, we have nothing. So if you don't have faith, you're not going to have trust. So the first thing is to have faith. Then belief, truth, understand and know the truth and believe the truth, to have conviction, to have a certainty about what you believe, to have assurance of what's going to happen, to have a freedom from doubt, and to have confidence. I'll go through those a little bit later, but that's basically, if you're talking about trust, those eight ingredients for trust are things that each of us need to focus on a regular basis. Now, looking at the definition of trust, you can also see what causes us not to trust. So you see their faith, the belief, etc. So if you look at why we don't trust, first of all, we don't believe. Now, this can be from a spiritual nature or it can be just from a general nature, because people struggle with trusting people. Let's not talk about the spiritual stuff now, but just generally, you allow people into your circle because you trust them, and you chuck them outside of your circle because you don't trust them. And a lot of times, you do that because you don't believe. You don't believe what they're saying. You don't believe that this is the real situation. You have a lack of faith in the situation. You lack of faith in the person because you haven't got a proper relationship with them. Maybe you lack confidence. So you don't trust the person because you don't have confidence in them. They've let you down before. People have been hurt. A lot of people have been hurt, even in a church context, where people have been hurt from previous churches. Hopefully not this church, but people, you get hurt from churches, and it pushes you away from church even, because you've had hurt from church. And then also, we receive lies from people, lies from the devil that keep us in bondage and stop us from trusting. So the best way to sort of explain trust is to give some examples. I've got some stories. One of them is about the recent trip to Dar es Salaam in Tanzania. So I want to share a little bit about what happened there, because that actually blew my mind about trust. It took me to a different level of trust that I've ever been. So I thought, well, let me focus a lot on that because it was something that really shook my world, actually. We saw the Tanzanian team. Woo! Come on. There we go. Okay, so we prepared. I'm a businessman, so I like to be structured and prepared. So we prepared for our missions trip, And we said, okay, we were going to do student ministry. So we thought, okay, well, how are we going to do this? We're going to do Encounter One, which is all about salvation, baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we thought that would be a way of connecting with the students and encouraging them and building them up. And then also Encounter Four, which was about deliverance. So we prepared, each of the team members prepared certain portions, and we were ready to go. We arrived there, and well, even before we arrived there, our program started getting bigger and bigger and bigger and more hectic, and we said, okay, well, we'll see how it goes. We arrived there, our program got even more hectic. Every day it actually just changed and just got more hectic, which was a challenge on its own. But we got there the Saturday. We got there the Friday, and then we weren't planning to do anything on the Saturday, and they said, no, we need to go visit one varsity on the Saturday. We said, okay, fine, we'll do it. And we planned to do Encounter One. Now, normally in the church, Encounter One takes probably about 6 hours in total over 2 weeks, 6 or 7 hours, and we had, I think, about 2 hours maybe maximum. So we had to think, okay, let's do a little bit of it. So we took portions of it, and we tried to present Encounter One at the first varsity. God worked, it was great, but it wasn't what God wanted us to do for this trip. So straight away we knew this wasn't going to work. But then we thought, okay, well, we haven't got time to prepare anything else because we've got this like hectic schedule. So we said, okay, what are we going to do? No, we're not sure. But we've got another session Saturday night all of a sudden. So from this session, we had to go have lunch at a shopping center, and then we had to arrive at the next university to take the service. And we said, okay, we're not doing Encounter One anymore. Okay, fine. So what are we going to do? And I don't know if any of you have like seen or heard this Pinky and the Brain, where they say, hey, Pinky, what are we going to do today? Oh, Brain, we're going to rule the world like every other day. And that's kind of what it was like. I was thinking, okay, Lord, what are we going to do today? What are we going to do tonight? Like, okay, and wait and wait and okay. And eventually God says, okay, I want you to speak about words of knowledge and prophecy. Okay. Great. Fortunately, God didn't put it all on me. He just gave me like what we need to do. And I said, okay, team, you guys need to have words of knowledge and prophecy. Okay. I'll just stand up here and say what we're going to do and hand the mic to the rest of the team and say, here we go. So I know how to delegate, which was cool for me. But that's how it was. So we said, okay, we're going to do that. And it was amazing. We went there. We also got there late, trying to step out of the boat. We were at this shopping center, and I saw a young boy there that had cerebral palsy, and I felt we needed to pray for him. We were in a rush. We had to get to our next meeting. And I said, that's fine. The meeting can wait. We can get there late. We'll get there late. We need to pray for this guy. So a few of us prayed, and we sat there, and we prayed for this guy. Unfortunately, he wasn't healed yet. I was a bit bummed. I was expecting him to jump up and run around like normal, but it didn't happen yet. But that's what I felt obedient to do. And when we got to the church, we were late, but that's fine. And then I told them, okay, we're going to, after they did their little thing, they gave the service to us. So we said, okay, we've got some words of knowledge and prophecy. Well, I was hoping we had some words of knowledge or prophecy. And I look at the team, I said, we have got words of knowledge and prophecy. And it was cool. They all like, came up and lined up there. Every one of them had a word, either a picture that God gave them or a prophecy they needed to give certain people, or certain prayer requests that they felt certain people needed to be prayed for. And it was amazing. We also, as a group, I felt we needed to pray for that young boy we prayed for. And then God just moved. It was just amazing. There was just so much ministry time, and God moved. People gave their lives to the Lord. People received healing. People were so blessed by being able to turn back to God, because God was real with them in terms of having specific pictures for their lives that they could relate to. And it was amazing. So it's like arriving at church on a Sunday and saying, what are we going to do? Well, I don't know. Let's just do whatever. And that's what happened. The rest of the week, it was exactly the same. It actually just got a little bit more intense as the week went on. But the Sunday, we took the morning. There's two morning services. So we preached the morning services. And then in the afternoon, we had to go out to do a door-to-door ministry. Now, I wasn't keen, and my team were even less keen on doing a door-to-door ministry. So what they do is they go to a university, they go to a campus, and they split up, and they go and knock on the door and open and like say, hey, do you know Jesus? And then they go to the next door, and they knock on the door and like, hey, do you know Jesus? And I thought, no, this is not cool. I don't dig this. I'm not keen on doing this. And I think, so I was praying, and we said, nah, I don't think this is what God wants us to do either. I suppose it's a way of getting out of it by saying that God doesn't want us to do it. But what I felt is specifically that we need to teach these this ministry team, this student ministry team, we need to teach him a slightly different angle. There's nothing wrong with going to do door-to-door ministry. I'm just not so keen on it, and the team neither. So I said to them, no, well, can we do it a little bit differently? Can we get in groups, pray for specific words of knowledge for the students, and then go and target that specifically? And they weren't keen on it. They said, no, we don't know this. We want to do the things we normally do. I said, no, well, you know, we kind of, yeah, we in charge. Let's do it our way. Well, we managed to convince them. I said, this is what God wants to do. They said, okay, if that's what God wants to do, we'll do it. And it was actually amazing because it actually blew some of their minds. They were like totally blown away with how it worked. I even got it wrong. So I didn't lead by example. I got this number, 152. So I said, okay, I need to go find room 152. That's the person I need to speak to. And there was zero room with 152. The rooms went up to 146. So I was like, oh, come on. So I'm like the worst teacher ever, you know. Like I get a word and it's rock wrong. So, but anyway, it was fine. I tried to make the best of it. And we went around and I said, okay, well, there's no room 152. Let's go speak to this guy. And we walk and we chatted to a few people, prayed for a few people. And we're walking out and had some of the local guys there that was with us. And I said to him, I think you need to go speak to that guy there. He said, okay. And he went to go speak to him. And on his way to speak to him, God gave this guy a word of knowledge about this guy. God told him he's Muslim and he's got lots of questions about Christianity. And then God also told him, I'm going to give you the answers to those questions. And he went there, and he started speaking to this guy, and he comes back, and he's like, hey, you never believe what happened. God told me about this guy as a Muslim, and he was a Muslim. God said he had questions, and he had a whole lot of questions. And God gave me all the answers. And this guy was just blown out of his mind. He was like so psyched afterwards. So, then we went from there and chatted to some people, and some people gave their lives to the Lord, and it went on like that. And you know, it was just amazing that we didn't come there with any planned agenda, even though there was a program. We came there and said, okay, let's just trust God to move. And he moved. Okay, he didn't move with me, with my number being wrong, but he moved with the other guys that we were planning to teach. So we were there to teach them, and I think that's what God wanted, to teach them how to use the word of knowledge and to empower them with a better and more effective way of their evangelism. The rest of the week carried on. We went to a medical campus, and we had two doctors and a dietitian on our team, so it was quite easy to delegate and say, hey, can you guys like kind of talk about something medical and bring it into Christianity? So they stood up and gave awesome messages in terms of the medical field and stories about how they could connect with God in terms of the medical field. And again, awesome night of ministry. The next two nights we felt God just said, okay, we need to focus on authentic Christianity and being spirit-led. So we went to an architect's college, and that's what we focused on for the two nights. And again, it was like kind of spot on. Different team members stood up and shared certain testimonies and stories, and it just people were just moved by that. Again, no plan. It's just like, okay, what are we going to do? Okay, authentic Christianity. Okay, cool. Who's got something? Okay. Yeah, Yanis, can you maybe speak about something? And Ash, can you speak about something? Bang. There it was. That was our ministry. But then it came to the end of the week, and we were like, lekker moch, tired, because we were on the go, because we basically connected by the end of the week with almost 1,000 students. So it was like very tough. And then by Thursday, we go into this transport college, and like in the bus, thinking, okay, what are we going to do? And mine's blank. Someone was talking about an ADSL line. This was like that dial-up that is going very slow, that it's taking like hours to get a meg download. That's what it felt like. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, please, what are we going to do? I don't know. We're going to stand there. I'm going to stand in front of these people and like, hello. And 5 minutes before we started, the guys asked me, what are we doing tonight? I said, I have no clue. And I honestly didn't. I said to them, look, I'm just waiting for God still, so just give me a few minutes, you know. And And all of a sudden, God said, okay, you need to speak about healing tonight. I'm thinking, okay, sure, this is something, you know. That's easy. Hopefully it's easy. And God said, okay, Ashley needs to speak, Rosie needs to speak, and I need to speak. Give a testimony and give some verses. And that's what I felt we need to do. So we did that. They had their worship, and three of us spoke. And then, bang, like 40 or 50 people came forward for healing. And I think most of them got healed as well, which was like awesome. So it was just amazing that God just, okay, he put my trust to the test by like 5 minutes before the time, saying, okay, what are we going to do? Okay, healing. But he waited till like the last minute just to make sure my heart is strong and take the stress. But it was even worse because from there, we had to go directly from there to another service, and I had even less clue of what we were going to do there. And even, they didn't ask me before the time, but we were busy having worship, and I still didn't know what we were going to do. I had to stand up when they were giving me the mic, like Steve was giving me the mic to come and preach, and like only when I got up, I said, okay, we need to talk about, I think it was about testimonies, giving testimonies. And God just like kind of waited literally for the last second to say, okay, we need to talk about testimonies. And I had to, and he gave me words as well to be able to share. And I felt that there were certain people in our team that needed to share, which they were prompted to share certain things as well. And there were people that were with us for the whole week that they came up and shared about testimonies and the power of testimonies. And again, it was just an awesome night of ministry where it touched people and it made a difference in people's hearts. And again, that's just trusting God. It was for me, it just blew my mind about trusting God, leaving it to the last second to trust Him. So yeah, that's a bit about Tanzania. That really blew my mind. Some other stories about trusts. Trust for healing, personal healing. And it might seem a bit strange that I'm talking about trusting, but in terms of my eye, most of you will know I'm blind in my right eye. And I've been trusting God for a few years now for healing. And it's actually weird because the more I pray for myself, because almost every night I lay hands on my eye and I actually pray for it, and like, oh, no, nothing yet. Or when we're on the missions trip, I get some of the missions team members, just pray for me quickly. It's like, open, nothing yet. So it gets frustrating, but the more I pray for myself, the more I'm trusting God, which seems illogical. It doesn't seem a logical thing to say, okay, you pray, but you're not healed yet. That doesn't bother me. The more I pray, it's like, yes, I'm stoked. I'm psyched. It's gonna happen. It's going to happen. So I'm trusting God for healing. I don't know, but I know God wants to heal me. I know God is going to heal me. I just don't know when. So I'm still trusting for that. Some of the stories about work and finances and church, you know, talking about words of knowledge. So one time we had this school of supernatural, yeah? And just before the missions trip, Andre said, no, the missions leaders need to come and pray before the service. So the few of us missions leaders came there. And then we arrived and Andre said, okay, this is the plan for tonight. He's going to give a little bit of a teaching, and then each of us are going to come and stand up and give a word of knowledge. It's like, no questions. It's like an instruction. You are going to come up here. You're going to stand up here. And you just throw the words of knowledge just like that. Like no pressure. It's like, oh, okay. But it was amazing. It was good. You get put in this box and you come and stand up here. And like everyone's standing and they're like, they're pushing everyone else. No, you go first. Because everyone's like, no, scared. We're not going to get a word of knowledge. But it was amazing. God just came through. Also, like the lot, you're standing up here, you don't know what you're going to say, and then like when it's your turn to say something, God actually has given you something, and each of us had something for specific people, a word of knowledge for specific people, and again, it's just amazing just to trust God to stand up and say, okay, I'm trusting you, God, I'm going to share this, even like sharing what Lorene was saying. I didn't know if there was someone like that. If there were no hands up, I would have felt like a real chop. But fortunately, there were some hands, so it was a phew. Yeah, and then for finances, awesome testimony from Clint there. But for me as well, I've trusted God with finances. And He's just come through time and time again. I've given lots of testimonies on finances. I'm not going to bore you with them. But I shared one on Thursday that maybe I should share quickly. And it's just amazing that God just keeps on. It's just amazing. I'm a giving person. I probably give more money away than I should, but that's fine. I don't have a problem. God's given me a giving heart, so I love giving. And 9 years ago, I was in a company that got liquidated, and the company owed me like 80,000 rand. lot of money 8 years ago. It's a lot of money now as well. And then with the liquidation, normally they have to pay all the preferential creditors first, and the bank, they owe the bank a whole lot of money. So we thought, oh, well, we're not going to get anything. About 2-3 years later, they paid us out 2,000 rand out of that. I was like, yay, okay, we got something. We weren't planning to get anything, but it was like, cool. Out of the blue, sometime in this week now, all of a sudden I get this letter to say, oh no, they're doing another payment. It's like, okay, weird. I thought it was like finished like 4 years ago, and they're doing another payment, and they paid me out 20 grand. It's like, whew, bonus, like a lot of money. But it's amazing. I wasn't expecting it. It just came like out of the blue. Okay, it wasn't only me. It was everyone that was involved in their company at the time. But I don't know where it comes from. It's just like weird. I thought everything was, the money was finished and gone a long time ago. And all of a sudden, there's this payment, which is like awesome. Trusting for healings and for salvation. One of the things you saw that what God is entrusting us for is to go and share our faith and to heal people. And a lot of times, I think our trust is tested as well by stepping out of the boat and going to go pray for people and speaking to people and try and bring them into salvation. And some of you will know the testimony that I've spoken about my dad. He's 86, 7 now. Turned 87 last week. And I've been chatting to him about God for many years. Every time I go to Cape Town, I say, hey, Dad, let's chat and talk about. Sometimes I cut my work short just so that I can make sure I spend a few extra minutes before I fly back and chat with him. And it's amazing. Last year we went to the Convergence Conference, and the one Sunday my dad came with to church, and I had this vision of him standing in front of the church giving his life. And long story short, it actually happened. There was an altar call, and he went up forward, and he gave his life to the Lord. And it was just amazing. So many years, and just trusting God that God will bring salvation into his life. And he did. And even more than that, my dad's got cancer, and we were praying for him for pancreatic cancer or something. And we were praying for him. And 6 months down the line, all of a sudden he goes to the oncologist, and they said, no, it's shrunk, that he doesn't need chemo, he doesn't need anything, he must come back in a year's time. So it's just amazing that trusting God with just trusting God with healing, even though you don't see it, 6 months later, all of a sudden you see there's healing. And yeah, God's just blown my mind in terms of trust. And I want all of us to be in the same place in terms of being able to trust God for someone's salvation, be able to trust God for a word, to trust God for healing, to trust God for breakthrough in your life. One or two verses that I just want to share in terms of trust. Proverbs 3, verse 5, basically to 10. Okay, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. There's also some stories of trust in the Bible. I'm not going to focus a lot on them, but you'll know the stories of Noah, not the movie Noah, but the actual proper story of Noah in the Bible. Abraham and Job, they trusted God and they had favor with God. Saul initially had favor with God, but then he didn't obey God and he didn't trust God. He went out and he disobeyed God by not killing everyone, and then he lost favor with God. Israel, as a nation, they had times of trust, and then they had times where they didn't trust and they didn't believe and they didn't have faith in God. And in those times, they were out in the wilderness. They were slaves and captives, and they're out in the wilderness when they didn't trust God. Obviously, the biggest story of trust is Jesus, when he had ultimate trust in God. He had to really trust God to know, okay, I'm going to die, and I'm not going to stay dead, and I'm actually going to rise up from the dead. That was a hectic trust issue, you know? How do you know you're actually going to not stay dead? So that was the ultimate trust. And then obviously the disciples were told to do things, and they went out and they did it. Just because Jesus said it, they did it. So they were obedient and trusted what Jesus said. Okay, how to gain or regain trust? Very, very quickly want to go through this, but it starts with faith. then you go on to believe. You need to accept the truth. Have confidence in who you are. Step out of the boat. Have forgiveness and freedom of doubt. So if you're looking at faith, and this morning I was actually thinking about faith, and I came up with a silly analogy of faith, but the definition of faith in Hebrews says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I was thinking this morning, okay, God, give me a picture or example of faith. And a few years ago, I used to go parachuting or skydiving. And I was thinking, well, that's actually faith. You know, you see this pack that someone else has packed. You don't know what's inside there. It could be bricks for all you know. You don't know if there's actually these wires that's supposed to hang you up in the parachute. It could be, you don't know what. There could be sugar in there. I don't know. The pack's a bit heavy, so it could be heavy. But you're just trusting. You look at that thing and say, okay, I have faith in this thing opening. When it needs to open, it's going to open. I don't know that. I can't see that. So I'm thinking substance of things hoped for. So I'm hoping when I jump out of the airplane that parachute's going to open. You have heard of stories where it didn't open properly, but we won't go to that analogy. But I'm hoping that parachute's going to open. But it's evidence of things not seen because I can't see inside that bag. I can't see that there's a parachute inside there. I'm just believing that it's in there, and I'm trusting that it's going to open. So for me, I was thinking, okay, that's what faith is like. So anyone who wants to go parachuting, you're welcome. Trust it. It works most of the time. Okay, so once you have to have faith. So you've got to have the faith. Then you got to have belief. Okay, you've got to believe that you believe. How many of you have seen heaven? If there are any hands now, then I really want you to come up. Not, okay. Okay, no one's died, gone to heaven, come back yet. Okay, cool. But how many of you believe you're going to heaven? Okay, so that's faith as well. You have faith. You haven't seen heaven, but you know there's a heaven, and you believe you're going to heaven. So, yeah, so once you have faith, you need to believe. Then you also need to know the truth. So God's word. God's word is going to tell you all these things. God's word is telling you there is a heaven. God's word is telling you there is eternity waiting for you, and this is how you get to eternity. So you need to know the truth. And once you know the truth, you need to have confidence in who you are in God. You need to know who you are in terms of your relationship with God. And there's some verses in the Bible that gives you a glimpse of what confidence you need to have. The first one is Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. Cool. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptance year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to give counsel, console those who mourn in Zion, to give beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And then just another verse that I've thought was relevant in terms of having confidence or assurance is 1 Peter 2 verse 9. Most of you know these verses. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. So you need to focus on these. I know Andre is very big on declarations. And you need to read these verses and actually declare it over yourself. You need to know you are royal. You are a priest. You are chosen. God has anointed you. And you need to speak those things over your life to believe it and to have that trust. Okay, so faith, belief, truth, having confidence in who you are. Then the next one is stepping out of the boat. And this is where a lot of us kind of rather sit down and let everyone else do it. And even if you get it wrong, you need to step out of the boat at some stage. You need to be able to say, I'm going to take a chance. So, like I said, on the mission trip, I kind of got it wrong the one time, but so what? I didn't worry about it. And sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we feel we've missed the boat or something, and it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. So don't let that stop you from stepping out of the boat. So if you've what God has entrusted you with, He's entrusted you to go share the gospel, to disciple people, to encourage people, to operate in the gifts. And that's what we need to step out with. We need to say, okay, God is giving me this word for Sandra. I need to go tell Sandra, God is saying this to you. Or to go and encourage Clint and say, you know, Clint, test me that you had was like so awesome, you know, bless you with it. And it's those promptings of the Holy Spirit that we need to really trust God to say, I'm hearing from you, God, and I'm going to go and do that. There's a verse in Corinthians that says, I did this so that you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. And that's the thing. Don't think about it yourself. You know, a lot of times you think, that's just me. That's just me wanting to encourage a person. If you get a thought, you need to start hearing God. When I asked if there's people that had a picture or heard something from God, you in the servants, and there was a few hands, I was like half expecting everyone's hand to go up, because that's what should happen. We should be hearing from God all the time. We should be seeing. God should be giving us. He is giving us pictures. He is talking to us all the time. We're just not hearing. We're just not seeing. And we need to learn to connect with what God is saying to us. And then also you need to celebrate other people's victories. So when someone does get up, step out of the boat and take the bowl, be bold and go and do something, you need to celebrate what they're doing and say, oh, that's awesome. You know, a lot of times we feel, oh, geez, I wish I could be like that. And we mustn't. We must just say, that's awesome. I'm so happy that you were able to do that. So when Andre comes back and he's going to tell us about all these stories about George, it's like we all must get like super excited about it. Because it's not about one person or another. It's about the church and about bringing glory to God. So when that's happening, we all need to celebrate. We need to jump for joy almost. Okay, also about regaining trust. After you stepped out of the boat, one of the things that stops us from trusting is forgiveness, unforgiveness. And a lot of us might have been hurt by people in the church, outside of the church, and we can't have proper trust if we've got forgiveness, unforgiveness in our hearts. So we need to be able to forgive. Forgive yourself and forgive others. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to complete the circle of trust. And then also have freedom from doubt. So one of the big things that happens is either through people, unfortunately, or Satan has certain ways of putting lies in your mind, and you start believing these lies, and then your trust just disappears straight away. So the important thing is for you to identify those lies in your life. That when someone says you're not worthy, you're not good enough, you look funny or you sound funny or whatever, you've got to identify those lies and bind them straight away. Otherwise, they become part of your identity. And the whole thing is having confidence in your identity. So if you believe in those lies, you need to say, that's a lie. And you need, the first step is to identify that lie. Then the second step is to get rid of that lie. So you've got to replace it with the truth as well. So there's a verse in Corinthians where it talks about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting every argument down and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity in the obedience of Christ. And that's what you've got to measure. You've got to identify those lies. You've got to say, okay, how does this thought that I have feature in terms of God's scheme of things, in terms of what God sees me? How does God see me? What does God say about me? And does this thought now meet what God is saying? So you've got to bring a thought captive and say, is it what God is wanting? Is it what God is saying? If it's not, you need to chuck it out. And also in Romans, it talks about not being conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, a lot of times, the trap we fall into is the circumstances around us actually determine the level of the presence of God in our lives. I'm a big one for that. Work comes and then all of a sudden quiet time goes. Work focus in my mind and quiet time, okay, just 5 minutes instead of 10 minutes or whatever. And that's a trap we all fall into when we let circumstances and the world almost tell us how we need to have our life with God, how His presence is in our life based on worldly circumstances. Okay, so just to recap, to regain trust, you need faith, parachute. You need to believe. So you know you're going to heaven, you believe that you're in the circle of trust, you're going to heaven. You need to know the truth, so the scripture, very important. You need to know what the scripture says about you need to know what the scripture says about other people. You need to know what the scripture says about God. You need to have confidence in yourself, in your identity. Once you know that, you need to step out of the boat. You say, okay, now's my time. I'm going to step out. I'm going to make a fool of myself. I'm going to go to this person. I'm going to speak to them and tell them what God wants in their life. Important not to have any unforgiveness, and then also recognize those lies and bind those lies. Okay, I want to. Last week we actually sang the song, Hillsong's Oceans, and I want us to. We're going to put it on the through the video now. I just want to quickly read the chorus or the bridge. What's it? The bridge. I know the worship team will probably know. Is it a bridge? Okay, cool. The bridge of the song. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. So we're going to listen to that now, but what I want each of us to do is, as that plays, I want you to try and just connect with God and say, okay, God, is there an area in my life where I need to trust you for something? Is there an area in my life that you are trusting me and I'm not quite meeting that circle of trust, your circle of trust? There's something you're trusting me for, I'm not doing it. And not from a negative point of view, but just to challenge you to say, well, let God tell you what he wants you to do today, tomorrow, this week. Because I don't want any of us to leave here without at least hearing from God. So if I had to ask the question again, if anyone had a message from God or a picture, I'd actually want to see everyone's hands up. I'm not going to ask you, but that's what we need to trust God. We need to trust God to speak to you. If you're struggling to hear God, then during this you need to start trusting God to say, God, I need to hear you. I'm struggling to hear you. I need to hear you. And then, yeah, like the words say, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Not to have your trust into a box, but be able to let it go wherever God wants you to go. Whatever trust issues you have, they need to be resolved. Whatever, if there's unforgiveness, you need to sort that out before you leave.